So, Father, as we open our hearts, we pray that you will speak to us, speak to me, speak to our friends here today, and bring a sense of comfort and inspiration from your example as well, an example of your son, Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, back in around March last year, we got friendly emails from the Australian government. It said something like this. If you're an Australian visitor in Indonesia, leave now. Don't delay. If you're a long-term Australian resident of Indonesia, consider whether you have the support and access to effective health services you and your family will need. The Australian government has no plans to evacuate you. Flight options to Australia are already very limited and may reduce further. Qantas, Jetstar, and Virgin have ceased flights. Thank you very much. We knew that medical care for COVID would not be ideal, possibly overwhelmed. Social rest in this country that I mentioned is a real possibility and has happened much before. And my wife has lived through that in the capital. A number of our friends in the space of a week packed up all of their belongings and headed home. Some of them had visa issues that were going to be coming up. Some had health issues that meant that we're better served at home. Some did actually choose to stay. They felt that they were. We had a couple American friends who had more confidence in the country of service rather than in their home country. but it was anxious times. We packed our bags, a couple of emergency bags, in case we needed to leave in a hurry. That's good standard practice for living in contexts like this. Except the problem is, as the country started to close its borders, and then even within the provinces, and then you couldn't fly anywhere, we had our bags packed, but there's nowhere to go. So the evacuation plan, well, there wasn't one because we couldn't. So there's anxious times. While there was no real physical danger right at that time, the stress and anxiety, I think it would be hard to think of a time where we were more more stressed. And I know each of us have experienced this to different degrees, particularly during the last year, but also in other parts of our life. And we've heard some of the testimonies already this morning from God answering prayers in times of hard times. David wrote Psalm 22 years and years before the crucifixion. But doesn't it, just when you hear some of the verses that are spoken, it's amazing how just the depth of suffering that we hear, and that's put words around what Jesus experienced. And as he took sections of these psalms for his own, and he said, it's like Jesus saying, that's me, that's me, that's me, from different parts of the psalm. So as we read the psalm, we actually learn more about some of the human experience. We learn more about Jesus' experience on the cross. And we gain comfort and insight as we reflect on Jesus' experience into our own. There's many layers. Let's summarize just some of the hard times that's mentioned in the psalm. Thank you. Next one, please. Yeah, thanks. So there's a layer. There's a few kind of conversations, but we've taken out some of the verses that relate to the complaint that the writer has, that David has, and that Jesus also expressed. I'm just going to summarize some of that. So first, it's spiritual, isn't it? First, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the question that was mentioned here recently, God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? You've left me alone. You're not saving me. You're not answering my cry for help. That's pretty desolate, isn't it? But there's also social, a few verses later in 6-8. I'm a worm. I'm not a man. I'm scorned and I'm despised by others. They mock me, they insult me, they shake their heads at me. He trusts in the Lord, let the Lord rescue him. There's also physical. And here there's lots of animals that are used as an illustration for the different harassment. Many bulls surround me, roaring lions that open their mouths at me. I'm poured out like water. My bones are out of joint. My heart has melted away. My strength is dried up. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs, evil men, have surrounded me and pierced my hands and my feet. People gloat and cast lots for my clothing. There's not many of us who have experienced that richness of hard times. That's desolate stuff coming from David's pen, and Jesus took many of these words on his lips, or the gospel writers used some of these phrases in response to what was happening. But it also mirrors some of the feelings that we have from time to time, isn't it? When we're experiencing hard times. And here's the whole psalm that deals with the depth of some of this. Sometimes hard times happen, and it feels like God has walked away. Thank you, Stefan. Sometimes hard times happen, and it feels like God has walked away. Somebody asked us back in April or May, or a couple of people actually asked us. They wanted to connect by Zoom here in Australia, and they had the question, Gary and Hanier, can you please share a little bit about what you see God doing? And we thought about the question, and we thought some more, and we kind of thought, well, actually, it's just we can't see God working. We can't see it. All we see is our own darkness, and then people struggling, and we couldn't see anything. Sometimes hard times happen, and it feels like God has walked away. But it's fascinating that all the way through the Psalms, invariably, David doesn't just hang out in the hard times. He always kind of says, well, here's this hard time, here's this anguish and suffering, but then I need to bring God into the picture, put my kind of God glasses on, and then look at my sufferings with anew. So let's look at some of the responses, particularly the word yet. Next one. So before, after each of those complaints, then there's the word yet. Despite, even though this bad stuff is happening, but you are the Holy One, the receiver of Israel's praise. This is who you are. I don't feel it and I don't experience it, but I know here, and I take by faith that you are still on your throne, God. Our fathers trusted you. You saved, they were not disappointed. The same God who we read about in Scripture and who walked with and saved and walked with through suffering with people throughout the Scripture. It's the same people same God that we read about through church history. It's the same God that we see through the testimony of the lives here who've brought people through suffering. It's our same God. And even though I don't feel him with me, I know that God is there and he's the same God. Yet, in verses 9 to 11, yet you have been my God since birth. You helped me to trust you. In our own lives, we can see elements and God's fingerprints throughout our lives, can't we? My theology lecturer once said, predestination is like in the past, you can see God's working. In the future, you have no idea. But you can see in the past God's fingerprint throughout your life. But we can't see the fingerprints in the future. And so that's what we can see. Oh, you have been my God since birth. Help me to trust you. Be near to me, for trouble is near, and there's nobody else to help. There's a cry out. Even though my friends have are harassing me. There's nobody else to help but you. And then 19 to 21, oh Lord, be near to me, come quickly. Save me from, these are the things that were mentioned before, right? The bulls, the dogs, the lions, the sword. Save me from these things. When we struggled with the fear or the anxiety of staying in location, some of the things that strengthened us was exactly this. Remembering who God is, the Holy One, even though he may not feel close. Remembering how he acted in the past. Remembering how he acts in our lives until now. Things didn't get easier. Haniar slipped and cracked her foot on the pillar out the front of her house. Gratefully, it wasn't broken, but it took an x-ray at hospital to deal with this. I was ill for about 6 weeks. I went to hospital for some blood tests and a chest x-ray. And then we had to pay the bill at the time in the COVID kind of emergency clinic. But we knew that God is with us. Whatever happens, he is with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't experience that confidence of saving from their fire beforehand, but they knew that even if they weren't saved, God is still God. Be near me, come quickly, save me. Was this what Jesus prayed at Gethsemane? We can cry this to God in the middle of our hard times as well. So until verse 21, there's suffering. But 22 onwards, it's all praise. So until 21, it's dealing with angst and hard times. But then from 22 onwards, it's praise. What happened in between? I wonder if it's on purpose that we don't see what happened. It's the saving. And we can almost insert our story, or Jesus inserting his story in the saving between the suffering and the praise. There's a silence, there's a blank space between 21 and 22. It's the interlude between scenes. It's the saving from whatever happened. Maybe the saving in Jesus' case is not being saved. Jesus cried out to be saved. But his saving was through death, and the saving was resurrection, being saved from death and resurrection. Maybe the saving that we can experience is us being baptized with Christ into his death and resurrection, and being saved from ourselves, our sin, and being brought near to God. Maybe that's the saving. Maybe the saving is God freeing us from a hard time, or from the fear of a hard time. Maybe the saving is the company of Jesus, the one who has experienced suffering himself, the company of Jesus in the middle of our suffering as we walk through it, as we walk through it together. So what's the right response to God's saving? Through 22 and 24, I will praise you to the congregation. Everyone, people of God, praise him. He has not despised the suffering of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face. He has listened. Giving praise to God before others in the congregation, like we heard Ian sharing the story before about a cousin, giving praise sharing testimony. This is a good response to our saving. Sometimes the saving is God's presence in the middle of our hard time. We still have our hard time, but we can still give praise for God with us. Psalm 66 says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God. I will tell you what he has done for me." That's just a simple thing. And that's all throughout the Psalms, isn't it? In response to hard times, it's David telling the congregation, telling the fellowship, telling the Israelites, but also telling the nations. Next one, please. Thanks. Just a short one about the fear. It's just something that we realized in the middle of our decision making is that there was many things that we had the potential to go wrong, but in reality, nothing was going wrong yet, except for all the flights and this and that and the other. And we realized that actually sometimes it's fear is the hard time. So I don't want to belittle that, but at the same time, we don't want to stay in fear. Fear is a normal reaction, and we can cry out to God in the midst of that. After our daughter Kayla was watching a kids' video, she drew this little painting. She felt that spoke to her, and God ministered to us through her painting. When we bring fear and we bring the lens of God into it with trust and faith, and then we have courage. Okay, next one, please. After coming through, I guess, our darker time, we saw glimpses of kids in the community started coming out. They were on the street more than before COVID times. And we would explore ways and how can we fly kites together or ride bikes around the place in a COVID-safe way. before this, because kids were kind of in their houses more on their iPads and doing school and whatever, we didn't see them much, but this catalyzed community. Thank you. Our neighbor got married, and he was trying to think about how can I get married and invite some friends. He couldn't invite some of the neighbors because then he would have to invite all of them. But I was a neighbor who wasn't kind of quite normal neighbor, and he wanted to see a friendly face, so I was invited. And then this is at the reception afterwards at his house, just to kind of share in his joy of being married. Yeah, thanks. We had one Korean American family that we kind of co-bubbled with. And they were such a blessing to us, and we were a blessing to them. And we saw life, and we felt that that was God's saving for us during that time. Thank you. Maybe one more story. We started a deeper relationship with a couple on the right. The lady is a colleague of Haniar's at school. And her and her husband have a great heart for caring for people who are working in remote areas with unreached peoples who don't get much support. So they're local people, and then they support other locals. They're using our car at the moment while we're away. And one time they said, we've got a visit to this other province coming up, neighboring province, and we want to take these two fairly new believers, and we want to take them to visit these two Christian families in this other province. These two new believers have just come from the majority faith. When I say new believers, maybe it's a couple of years. And one fellow in particular, as he's come to faith, he used to be a leader in the majority faith religion. But now, as he's come to follow Jesus as not just an important person in the teaching, but also as his savior, he continues to share that with people that come to him. So people of the majority faith from all around, particularly those with mental illness, actually come to him because he's renowned for being able to heal people. And they come to him for healing, and then many of the people who come to him for healing in that faith actually experience the healing of Jesus. But they're fairly young in their faith. They wanted to come, so my friends here, they wanted to come and take this couple to visit these Christians in this other province. One of the Christian families, the father, has just passed away from COVID. The mother and the kids are doing it a little bit rough at the moment from that, but they're being able to shine Christ's light still. Another family, due to economic difficulties in the area, they're experiencing poverty, and so they wanted to bring some rice and a few groceries to them as well. And my friend said, I want to take these fairly young believers from the majority faith to go and share with them and understand that hard times will happen and it's okay. He wanted to take with them, they're going to encourage these people, but then he wanted these people to encourage the majority faith, or the new believers, encouraging from the hard times, knowing that Jesus was walking with them even in the hard times. God is not only the God of goodness and positive experiences, but God's also the God in the middle of our suffering. That's powerful testimony. God is still saving these Christians in the middle of their hard times, and that is powerful testimony. So one of our responses to saving is testimony, is sharing. And next one, yes, here we go. 25 to 31, near the end. We have intertwined. We have a sense of future generations being told. Okay, so it's not just about what's happening now, but David's saying in the psalm that future generations are going to be told about the goodness, about what God has done. And then there's also verses that reflect all the ends of the earth will turn to him. All families of nations bow down before him. He rules over all. Worship is for all, rich and the poor. Love the verses read from Revelation earlier, wherever Ian is. Thank you. Revelation gives us this glimpse and this vision of what's happening in the end times, of all nations coming down and worshiping him, worshiping the Lamb. And that's kind of some of the image that we get here. This is one of the responses of Jesus, or of God's saving from hard times. It's giving praise with each other, giving testimony. It's sharing with the nations. And the nations are going to give praise to God because of his saving. Remember, as we face injustice, as we face hard times, the future is not comparable to what Jesus has already faced, and then the saving through the death and resurrection of Jesus. For Jesus to endure what he did on the cross, through what we see in the psalm, for Jesus to endure what he did on the cross, our sin must be terrible, and his love must be great, isn't it? He walks close to us as we experience hard times, though his saving may not be in the way that we expect. He saves. Our right response is worship, is sharing our praise with others now, with future generations, and with the nations. Let's pray. Lord, it's with awe that we see and we reflect on some of the hard times that you experienced, as reflected in Psalm. But it's also with a sense of comfort, and it's a sense of worship, that we thank you for your saving, We thank you that for the promise that comes through Jesus' death and resurrection. We thank you that we do not walk alone. We thank you that we can have joy and relief from suffering. We thank you that we can have comfort and company in the middle of suffering. And we thank you for the vision of the future with all nations coming down and worshiping your throne, worshiping the Lamb. So Lord, as we stand in this present day, in the sense of now the kingdom is here, but it's not yet complete, we give ourselves to you and we hope for you to be working through us. Lord, when hard times happen, when plans change, help us to look for you in the middle of that. What are you doing in the middle of the relative that's sick? What are you doing in the middle of the plans that I had that changed? Where are you? And I give you my discomfort, my hard times. So we thank you, God, for your leading, for your word, and we thank you, Jesus, for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.